Today we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Paul wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus, and he was writing to them about what the church is, to gather a deeper understanding of what it means to be part of church, and what God has done through Jesus Christ. And the view does look completely different than what we see sometimes, because sometimes we see a completely different thing than what God has in mind. So listen to these words that come from the second chapter of Ephesians, starting in verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and were called the uncircumcised by those who called themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You see, God's idea for all of humanity is completely different than what we've established here on this earth. I remember in doing some studies before I went to Africa, in doing some studies and trying to understand about the situation in Africa and what was going on with the different countries. Something had happened that caused so much division. You see, the way they had originally set things up there is a tribe, a clan, a tribe of people would live on this river, on both sides of the river, and it would be one town. And these people would be together, and they would be joining in together, and they would be working together to do things. When the Europeans started to take over Africa, they had a different way to split up the country. They split it up by the rivers, so that this river and this river were the border of this country. And where before there was a group of people living on the river, on both sides of the river that were a group, now the group on this side of the river is part of this nation. And the group on this side of the river is part of this nation. And that happened throughout all the countries. So this country now that's bordered by this river and this river and maybe this lake is combined of maybe three or four different tribes who through the centuries had been at war with each other. And now they're being told by the Europeans, you're all countrymen, now get along together. I guess you know how that worked out. You see, they had the country split up completely different than what the Europeans had in mind. And to this day, it has caused great division in all of Africa. And we hear about one tribe fighting against another tribe. We stayed, the first weekend I was there, we stayed with some of the Kikuyu wonderful people. And they asked us where we were going next, and I said, well, eventually we're going to stay with the Maasai. And they said, oh, we know the Maasai. We steal cows from them all the time. And they steal cows from us. It was a big game for them. By the way, in Africa, if nobody watches you steal something, it's not a sin. It's only when you get caught that it's a sin. Okay? They'll stand around all day, and they did it to us. We were helping one church, and we were painting in one church. And they will stand around all day waiting for you not to be looking to take your can of paint. And we turned around to get some more paint, and it was gone. And we didn't see anybody with it. It's like as the, in their countries, it's like as though if nobody's watching it, it's fair game. So even still, amongst the Kenyans, the Maasai, the Kikuyu, they were one country folk now. But they still stole from each other. They still did things to each other because centuries they were not one kinfolk. They were not part of one nation, part of one country. You see, the Israelites didn't get the picture of what God was trying to share with them. The Israelites became God's chosen nation, God's chosen people. And they were to be God's chosen people who were to be helping others come to God. They were to help other nations see how they could come to God and to serve God. But the Israelites got the wrong idea. And as you read through the Old Testament, through the Hebrew Bible, you see this idea that they got was, we are God's people and you're not. We're God's chosen people, and you haven't been chosen. We are God's people, and you are goyim, is the Hebrew word, which is not a nice word. It's a derogatory term. It's found throughout the Old Testament. And it means that God did not look favorably upon you. God did not choose you. You are dirty. You are unclean. You are bad people. And we are God's chosen people. Instead of the understanding that they were to be the people of God who helped reach out to all the nations of the world. And that's what Paul is talking about here in the beginning of this passage. He says, those of you who have been called circumcised, have been called uncircumcised by those who were circumcised, by the way, it's something that's done by human hands, not by God, reminding these Jewish folks that you're God's people by God's choice, not by your own hand. And Paul comes and says that the divisions are going to change. You see, Paul speaks about the division which used to exist between Israel and all other peoples. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about this division, this divide that has been there forever and even nowadays can still be there among the Israelites. We are God's chosen people and you are not. You are not God's chosen people. We have been favored by God, and God looks down upon you. And you see, that's the way it's been for centuries. You know, our world and our country still has many divisions. It still has many divisions, doesn't it? Go around the world and you can see the divisions between countries, and probably one of the biggest ones that's being talked about in the news right now is the division between what's the United States and what's Russia. The division. Not a coming together, not a talking, not a detente, not a coming together and trying to see things for the better of humanity. It's a division. Within our country, don't we have many divisions? There are tons of divisions now. And now there's this idea that's floating out there that if you're not part of a division, then your opinion is not worthy. And the more divisions that you can be part of, the more important your opinion is. Think about that. The more divisions you can be part of, the more important your opinion now is. Is there not division among our churches? Do you know why we have so many denominations? It's one simple answer. One simple answer. Because people can't get along. That's why we have so many denominations. And then what we do is we look at the different denominations and we talk about that denomination, and I'm not going to identify it for you. We talk about that denomination because we don't like what they do or the way they do it. And as I've worked with different denominations and ministers from different denominations, I have found out one thing. There is a whole lot more that brings us together than separates us. There is a whole lot more that can bring us together, but we choose to make the divisions. We choose to say, well, we don't worship on Saturday, we worship on Sunday. We choose to say we don't worship that, and we think that what you're worshiping is wrong, so we're not going to worship with you. There's churches that don't use any kind of musical instruments. They believe it's against Scripture to use any kind of instrument in the church. Matter of fact, I've run into some folks that think that, in a way. Ran into some folks one time that you can't have a guitar in a worship service because it's got strings. Guitar music is not worthy in the worship service because the guitar has strings. Are you listening to me? Have you ever looked in here? We create divisions. We're the people who have a job and those are the people who don't. We create divisions. We talk about it. We live on this side of the tracks and they live on that side of the tracks. We create divisions. Is that God's idea? It never has been. It never has been. You see, Christ came to destroy the barriers and walls in order to make us into one body. And that's what this passage is talking about. Paul is saying there was a division between the Israelites, the Jewish nation, and all the rest of the peoples of the world, and Jesus Christ came to destroy that barrier, that wall that exists between them, so that we could become one body. Not multiple churches meeting in multiple places, not churches that believe this and believe that. We should become one body. We should recognize what we believe together and coming together in one body. We are not in competition against every other church in this town. We're not. We are not in competition. We are to be the people that God wants us to be, to reach the people that God wants us to reach. But we need to break down those barriers and walls because it's all about being one body and bringing people to Jesus Christ. It's all about helping people to see Jesus Christ. And Christ came to destroy those barriers. Christ came to break down every one of those walls. So now all people are to be united in Christ and joined together in one structure for living for God. One structure. One body. Now we are to all be united in Christ and joined together. Now let me take this one step further. Have you ever heard about churches, just an individual, one church? That's had divisions, that's separated for one reason or another. And you know what one reason is sometimes that people separate? And they go off and start a whole new church because I didn't like the color of the carpet that you picked. Now, that just sounds silly when I say it that way, doesn't it? The previous church that I served, they had a fellowship hall, and when they built the fellowship hall, they put commercial-grade carpet in the fellowship hall. Half the people wanted it, and half the people didn't. When it came time to replace the carpet because it had gotten stained and it was starting to pull up in places, guess what they did? Let's put tile down this time to satisfy the other half of the people. Was anybody satisfied in either case? And guess what they found out when they put tile down? Now we got to put up acoustic tiles on the walls and the ceiling because now there's too much noise in here. Because it was bouncing everywhere. There was no carpet to absorb it. You see, we do a lot of things to create divisions even amongst ourselves. There are some churches that create divisions about, we're a church for young folks. Well, we're a church for old folks. We're a church that likes traditional music. We're a church that likes contemporary music. And never the two shall meet. You see, Christ came to break down all those walls. Every one of them. Every one of those walls. That we might come together in one body, in one structure, living for God. Means I need to be open. Sunday school this morning, we were talking about King David. We've been studying about King David. And King David decided, you know what? I'm going to build a house for God. I've got my palace done, and I'm going to build a house for God. And the prophet Nathan says, whatever's in your mind to do, because I know God is backing you, do it. And sometime that night, God spoke to Nathan and said, go talk to David tomorrow and tell him he's not the one to build a house for me. First off, I didn't ask for a house. Second off, he shouldn't be doing that. Nothing wrong with the idea, but God said maybe sometime later, your son will do that. And a matter of fact, in another book of the Bible, he tells David, he says, you're a man of war, and I need a man of peace to build my temple. So Solomon, who's a man of peace, once the countries are all settled, is the one who builds the temple. But you see, there could have been a division there if David wasn't willing to listen to what God had to say. And I've learned that as we work together in one structure and in one body, I've got to listen to what God's saying to other people. Because my wife will be glad to tell you, I don't always get it right. Some of you may still be under the belief that I do. Trust me, follow me around or talk to my wife, and you will find out I don't always get it right. Don't quote me on that, by the way. Folks, we need to be one body. We need to be one structure. And Paul even goes on to say that Jesus Christ is that cornerstone. Do you know what happens, what's supposed to happen if you take the cornerstone out of a building? The building falls down. Do you know what happens if you take the keystone out of an archway? The archway falls. It's all supported by that one stone, whether it's a keystone or whether it's a cornerstone. That's what we're built on. That's what we as congregations are built on. That's what the denominations coming together, we're all built on the same cornerstone. You've heard me say this before. Somebody gets to heaven, and St. Peter's walking them around heaven, showing them where everything is. And they walk past this room, and people are singing and laughing and joking. And God said, and the gentleman says to St. Peter, what room is that? Oh, that's the Pentecostal holiness. They're all excited, and they're all up and they're in the spirit and they're singing and they're happy and they're joyous, and go past another room and that's the United Methodists, and go past another room and that's the Catholics, and you go past another room and all of a sudden St. Peter says, and they get past that room and the gentleman says, what room is that? Well, that's the Baptist. They think they're the only ones here. You see, that's not what it's supposed to be like. One structure. One body. As you heard me use the words, and they're in your bulletin, the words that I used was that we are the local body of Jesus Christ here at Withfield Baptist Church. There is a universal body of Jesus Christ. And that universal body of Jesus Christ includes believers in every denomination. I have found believers in every Christian denomination. Now, I'm not including what we might include as those who teach wrongly, okay? Because there are some who call themselves the church who are not the church. And they teach, they've got a wrong and a bad theology. But I have found Christians in every denomination, everyone, whether it's from Catholic to Protestant, I've found Christians in everyone. And I have some great friends across denominations. It's about being one body, one people. So I ask you to think about this. What are the barriers that we have built up still seeking to maintain? What are the barriers that we have built up that we are still seeking to maintain? And my question is, why would we maintain them? If God wants all of Christians to come together into one body, into one church, into one community of believers, whether it's within this local church, whether it's within Church Street, we got three different denominations here on Church Street. And we have Christian sisters and brothers in every one of those churches, every one of them. And we're working on other ways to do more things together, that we can reach this community. So what barriers have we built up that we're still seeking to maintain, whether it's within the church or whether it's outside the walls of this church? So I ask you to think about this. Can we truly be God's people, helping all to come together in one direction? Can we truly be God's people, helping all to come together in one direction? Howard said it before, it's not our individual names or the names of our churches. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about God. That's who we're serving. That's who we're looking to glorify. That's who we're looking to bring people to, so that we can witness more opportunities of baptisms like we had today. Because there's plenty of people out there that have never made a commitment to Jesus Christ. And when they see how we divide ourselves as Christians, it not only confuses them, but it makes them not to want to be a part of what we're doing. And we're keeping them from coming to God by dividing things up and setting things out separately. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about God. And it's about the work of the Holy Spirit in each person's life. Can we be one? Let us pray. Lord, it is so easy for us to make divisions. Matter of fact, it's way too easy for us to do that. we really have to work at the fact that that's not the way we should be. And Lord, we pray that you would work in each one of our hearts that we might see and that we might understand in which ways we continue to allow barriers to be there. Because Jesus Christ came to break down those barriers. So Lord, help us not to maintain them, but help us to work towards that one direction, built on that one cornerstone of Jesus Christ. It's His name that we pray in. Amen.